Holding the title of UFO Capital of Scotland, the city of Bonnybridge racks up around 300 mysterious sightings a year. In 1992, the first sighting was reported by businessman James Walker, who claimed to have seen a star-shaped object flying low over the road as he was driving and blocking his path. Within a few years, an impressive number of reports of mysterious objects began to populate the local newspapers and put Bonnybridge on the map, with 600 sightings taking place just between 1992 and 1994. While Bonnybridge may hold the title for close encounters of the first kind, 15 miles southeast in the town of Livingston, one man holds the title for close encounters of the fourth kind. A little over a decade before Bonnybridge became known as a UFO hotspot, a forestry worker had a harrowing experience that, due to his credibility as a witness, was filed as an actual case of assault by UFO. This case file joined the theorists as they tried to grab this mystery by the big steely balls in the Robert Taylor incident.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 153, the Robert Taylor UFO Incident. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Hold on a second.
Is this 152?
No, it's 153, but first off.
What? No. 152.
What's going on, Zell? Are you recording this from 1945?
I stepped in the sun and it scorched me.
I think he's been bloodlusting.
I got charcoal.
You haven't had blood in a while, have you?
It's been a dry summer. The tourists are not in town. And I've lost all my color.
Zell has an iron deficiency.
I have a medical condition undiscovered.
Before we get into this case file, anything, looking into this Robert Taylor UFO case, I had an epiphany and I wanted to ask you guys about it. Hypothetically, say if you guys got abducted by aliens, mm-hmm. right? Get beamed up into a spacecraft, right? Zipped around, whatever, you know, maybe they cover you in sex jelly, whatever. One of the, you know, stereotypical alien abductions.
Sure.
Butt stuff.
The Travis Walton story, something like that. How are you guys handling it? You know, because we talk about, you know, I've personally said a lot of times that I give a lot of credit to people who don't, you know, monetize from it, or that, you know, where they don't gain from it. But what do you guys think you're doing? Are you letting the world know, or are you just kind of keeping it low key?
I think it depends on the severity of the abduction.
Like, you're fucking abducted. You're abducted.
I got zapped by like Travis Walton. I got flung across the field. It turned my handshakes into jelly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Is that what we're talking?
Yeah, that. Yeah, like you've seen them.
Well, in that case, for me, because we've seen this firsthand, it fucks you up so bad, like physically and mentally, that you can probably no longer gain normal employment. So at that point, you almost have to turn to telling your story for monetary gain because you don't have another option. So if I got scorched that bad and I couldn't shake hands anymore and I could barely walk around, I probably have
but
to.
But do you take it to as gimmicky of a fucking
no
step as Walton did?
I hope not. But what if I got rattled that hard that I wasn't the same person after, and then I don't know.
Yeah, but he's hosting Burning Man in the desert for aliens, basically.
Well, that's cool though.
Yeah, I guess. I don't, but has anybody seen anything? Like, it seems just he's making these fucking promises that I don't know.
Okay, Andrew, what would you do then?
If I got abducted by aliens?
Yeah.
I wouldn't leave my house again for the rest of my fucking entire existence.
That's ever. It.
Never. I wouldn't go outside. There would always be a roof over my head. I'd be hiding under my bed. It would not be good.
Yeah, but we know they float in too, right? They'll fucking.
Oh, that's
doors.
Right.
Yeah, there's no. You can't stop it.
Yeah. Oh man, I'd be that fucking. I'd be in a straitjacket in a insane asylum, just fucking going nuts,
wriggling. Dan, what about you?
definitely depends on the nature of the abduction. If it's one of the, if it's a Travis Walton one, I don't know. I'd have to look at it from a different angles. Like, I don't know if I would go as far as hypnotic regression, because I'm not 100% on that. But
what do you mean? You don't trust Dr. Sprinkles? You don't want Dr. Sprinkles to come over here and find out what happened?
I don't even
to
like
you?
Sprinkles on my Sundays.
That's blasphemy.
See, I always thought, like, looking when I was thinking about it, I always thought, like, I really respected the people that kept it low key. But then looking into this case, something struck me, and it struck me today, is that I don't know. I always thought, like, you know, I'd try to live a normal life, like, if that happened, and I would just keep it low key. But, like, imagine now for a second that you have this experience and this happens. You are now in possession of, like, fact that is so rare for anyone on Earth. Like, you know, there's, for a fact, there's intelligent life. You know, for a fact, they're far more technologically capable. I imagine having information like that and then just coming back into the real world and listening to, like, trivial, mundane shit, you'd be like, none of this fucking matters. Like, this doesn't matter. There's people living in the stars that are fucking way more capable than we will ever be. You don't know. Like, and I was like, I don't know if I could just sit and, like, go and do a 9-to-5 after that.
Like, well, not to mention, too, like, there's going to be some PTSD that comes along with that, especially these people who get fucking probed. You basically get diddled by some fucking UFO, and you're supposed to go on and live a normal life after that? That's going to fuck you up.
Yeah, if it was that bad to the point where you, like, were the science experiment kind of UFO abduction or alien abduction, and yeah, it would be...
That's why I say the nature of the abduction would definitely make a difference in how react to it.
I agree to that, because if it was traumatizing in the sense where you're, like, you're probed and experimented on, like, you're definitely going to have a negative. But I'm just saying, like, knowing that information, regardless of how bad or pleasurable the experience is when you come back, you are now in possession of, like, information that you have firsthand where you're like, no one might believe me, but I know we're not alone in this universe. I know, like, you would have answers to these questions that people have. Right. And maybe not everyone would believe you or whatever, but, like, how do you just be like, all right, well, I'm going to show up at the bank at 9 and
well, I think
keep plugging away for the man.
Because if it was one of us, though, that got abducted and we've been talking about aliens for years and years and we did say something, people would be like, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. The Alien Theorist Theorizing podcast, who's been looking for aliens for years, has got abducted. Yeah. That's trustworthy and no problem. No evidence, no photographs, no nothing.
Yeah.
Tough.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't, now that I think about it, like, seriously thinking about it or considering it, I probably wouldn't even say anything. I wouldn't bring it up in general conversation unless I were talking to somebody else who had an encounter or seriously believed they had an encounter. And I would still be casual about it. I still feel like it would just be something that happened. Like, I wouldn't have a problem knowing, because, you know, that's already my personal opinion, is that we are very, I see myself, that's how I, you know, how I see, visualize myself or conceptualize my being, is that I'm a very small part of the universe. And that if there's more stuff out there, I believe there is possibly a good chance that there's other things out there, whether it's aliens or Cthulhu, whatever, there's other stuff out there. And it's like, if it were that happened to me and aliens came down and said, this is where they showed me a little screen, or like, this is where we're from, they pointed at that star, and I'd be like, that's cool, bro. Like,
sure.
Neat. I
mean, yeah. How tight would you be clenching?
Oh, so tight. But you got to think, like, tight. The majority of people, like, think about this. People can't even turn to a vegan diet or start doing CrossFit without letting the entire fucking world know.
Well, I wouldn't put it on Twitter.
You know what I mean? People would be harassing you with it every
Dan's
day.
All capitals.
There would be fucking social media posts. Day 32
person,
since my
woman,
abduction.
Man,
abducted by
abduction.
Aliens. Weak.
Oh, yeah. It was an interesting thought I have, because when we get into this case, that's one of the things you're going to have to think about, is how Robert Taylor handled his abduction and, you know, in a way. And I used to think that was a way to do it, but then I wasn't sure after talking about if you had this real experience, how hard it would be to just keep it quiet like that. Anyways, before we get into the Robert Taylor incident, why don't we get into a little space news? That's basically how the universe is going to end.
A slow, sad end to the
Not
universe.
Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Yeah. Scientists have, or you, I guess theoretical physicists, have calculated that the universe will slowly fizzle out in what's known as a heat death. And the universe will basically be only black holes and burnt out stars and trailer parks. That's all that will be.
Trailer parks.
Trailer parks that haven't been destroyed by tornadoes.
A Tire sad, fire. Sad, lonely, cold place.
Just a bunch of supernovas, then fall into black dwarfs, black holes. And then what? Then it just sits frozen forever? No expansion, no life?
Freeze solid into black dwarfs and then...
Until something bangs again.
Something Pretty bangs much. Again. Yeah. Yeah. Until planets and stars start banging.
And there we go.
But yeah, underwhelming. They've calculated it'll just... Maybe we're in the slow fizzle right now. Who knows? Maybe it's already started.
I mean, yes, it has already started. It's heat death. It's just all the energy gets expended and then...
Just get saturated throughout the universe and then nothing else is around.
Yep. If you've ever seen the Doctor Who episode where all the stars burned out, that's essentially what it will be like.
Sad. Astronomers finally know what caused that mysterious dimming of Betelgeuse. Okay, hold on a second.
Wait,
first off,
start again.
Did you say Betelgeuse?
Don't Beetlejuice! Say it anymore! Fuck!
You can't say it three times.
Oh, we did.
What the fuck?
What are you doing here, Michael Keaton?
Dan's about to be taken.
Yeah. The sudden dimming of one of the brightest stars in the night skies, Betelgeuse, they think it could have been caused by dust clouds spewing up from its surface. Basically, if you remember, I think we talked about it on Space News months and months ago.
Yeah.
Betelgeuse was losing lumosity. Luminosity.
Playing with fire. You guys are playing with fire. You've said it way too many times.
Betelgeuse, Betelgeuse, Betelgeuse.
No, damn. Oh. Yeah, you're the only one without a soul. So it's fine.
That's true.
I got this cool new EMF reader. So I'll keep it scanned for Betelgeuse. Whoa, what was that?
Well, we had a beep on the EMF.
That was weird.
When you said he who shall not be named.
Betelgeuse.
Stop it.
Oh, shit. It did it.
Stop doing it.
I'm turning it off. That's creepy.
Yeah. That's enough.
Bastards.
Ooh, I get shivers. But basically, no one knew why it was dimming. And they thought maybe it was going to explode into a supernova. But now, with the help of the Hubble telescope, they think it's super hot plasma being unleashed from the star surface and cooling in the outer layers of the atmosphere and eventually turning to dust, which blocks some of the light. So interesting stuff. So it's more of a scientific reason. Definitely not aliens is what they're saying.
Yep.
It's not a Dyson sphere.
Not a Dyson sphere.
Capturing all the energy of the sun for
type two civilizations. Maybe it's nanotechnology. Nano dust from the aliens.
And since Betelgeuse is about 734 light years away, it happened in the beginning of the 1300s, pretty much when it did happen.
Yep, 725 light years from Earth. So there you go.
Which is also when the Mali Empire reached its peak. Coincidence? I think not.
I think not.
The Pentagon has set up a new unit to investigate UFOs. The new unit's going to be called the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force, or UAPTF.
Wait, I've heard this story before.
Well, is this not, is it head by Scully Mulder here or what?
No. This is fairly new. This is August 2020 news.
No, I know the news is new, but I've heard the same story has been coming out for years. We had ATIP and they had like those four programs in a row.
It was like 2008, right?
2008 to whatever, 12 or 15. And then 2017, they broke the story first. Mm-hmm. And then they just said that they had a recovered craft that we haven't heard much more about. And now they got a new program.
When we're doing our case file 10 years from now, we'll be like, oh, secret UFO task force by the Department of Defense. some videos that they took that may or may not be UFOs got released by some private organization. I don't know. Like we're just gonna be backward.
By then it'll be probably Justin Bieber heading up.
Yeah. Well, he'd be heading up CSIS, though. He's Canadian. Yeah,
to the Moon University or something.
To Beetlejuice Academy.
Stop saying it. Beetlejuice.
Playing with fire.
But basically what they've said is like they're looking for unidentified area phenomenon. But realistically, what they say they're really after is they're very concerned about China is spying capabilities using drones and other airborne means. So that doesn't mean it's not just for aliens, but aliens is definitely on there. But it's more for spying capabilities, what they're looking for. So they say. What else we got? I think I can't remember if we talked about this one, but in Canada, anyways, according to CTV, UFO sightings across Canada have spiked during the pandemic.
Of course, everyone's got nothing else to do but stare at the sky. You're going to see everything.
Get drunk and look at the sky, yeah.
This is what happens when you keep those eyes on the skies. We fucking told you.
For
we
years.
Told you so.
Almost 5 years now.
Told us so.
Yeah. You look at the sky, you're going to see some shit. So keep those eyes on the skies.
Canadians are seeing some shit.
What else? Anyone else got any space news?
Yeah, the last one we got to talk about is NASA powers up. We talked about it on last case file, I think. The Ingenuity Mars Chopper. They've fired up.
Oh, yeah.
This is a chopper.
It's on its way to Mars right now, but they fired up its lithium ion batteries. lithium ion batteries. No.
Charge is not a tumor.
Do it. I'm here.
My name is Thomas Aquinas.
I should have known better when I said chopper. When I said chopper, I should
have known. What does he do?
Okay, what about the chopper?
They fired up the batteries to make sure they work.
How does the chopper work in Mars?
Well, it's going to have bigger rotors that spin faster so it can get lift in the thin atmosphere, pretty much.
Okay,
so you can get to it faster, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you can get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper.
Interesting space news. I was kind of curious about how that would work.
Yeah, they're just firing it up, getting it ready. And it's the page on space.com says the electronics are in good shape. That means so far it's bound to be the first off Earth chopper.
Yeah, it's ready to rock. I mean, they were testing it's going to be running off of batteries and charging from the actual rover itself. Then when it gets to Mars, it has its own solar panels, I'm pretty sure. And then it'll be charging off of those when it starts taking its flights.
That's cool.
Pretty neat.
Now, before we get into the case file, I forgot one other thing. I don't think we have any more space news. But because of COVID, we've had issues with our shipping, which meant in June we didn't have a meat draw winner because everything was so delayed. So we are due for back-to-back meat draw winners. Do we want to announce that right now?
So we have a new system. We have a wheel.
Yeah.
The wheel spins. It picks a winner.
Double meat draw.
Let's do the June meat draw first.
Do we have them labeled?
No, just you can pick one.
Okay, I'm gonna pick one here. Here we go. Meat draw.
Everyone, can you read that?
Can you read everyone's names around the circle?
Did you see your name on there?
Yeah. Your name's on there. You can check.
It doesn't have.
If it's not on there, that means you're delinquent in payment.
Okay. Well, I'm just gonna. Here we go. I'm gonna play. I'll play with some sound too.
Spin that
spin it.
Wheel.
Spin it. Oh, who's gonna be Jaron Tolbert?
Whee! Jaron Tolbert, June meat draw winner.
June meat draw.
Let's get right in. So Jaron Tolbert. Tolbert?
Yep, Jaron Tolbert.
Tolbert? Might be Tolbert.
Right into
Jaron Tolbert.
Tolbert.
All right, congratulations. Next.
Next month, July meat draw winner, supporting at $10 or more per month. Spinning the wheel. Here we go.
Woo, spin that wheel.
It's going to be Mr. Phobos.
Mr. Phobos or Phobos. Could be either one.
Phobos?
Could be Phobos.
Congratulations to the meat draw winners. There's some swag coming to you. That's the monthly
exclusive.
Exclusive.
Do you see there's some meat sweats coming towards you?
Straight to your face.
Mad sweat, mad meat coming straight to your face.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. The Robert Taylor UFO incident. First off, who is Robert Taylor? Why don't we get into that a little bit? What do we know about Robert Taylor?
What do we know? What don't we know Robert Taylor?
We don't know more than we know.
Yeah.
Robert Taylor was born in 1918. Grew up in, he is from Scotland, and he is a World War II veteran, well known.
If you were to listen to Nick Pope in some videos about Robert Taylor, he's a war hero, impeccable man, Superman, greatest man of all time. No fault.
No fault.
People have no idea who Nick Pope is. Can you?
People who listen to our podcast know who Nick Pope is. He's a
person alien. Who's part of your podcast doesn't know who fucking Nick Pope is.
Dude, he's an ancient aliens guy.
He used to work for the UK Ministry of Defense, and he was in charge of examining their UFO files. And then he did that for a bunch of years. And then he's been doing the UFO circuit talking about it ever since.
Yeah, he's been riding cool. The ancient aliens train.
Is he stealing wallets too?
He didn't steal any wallets, but we did see him. He's very frail and small. Quite small.
He's a very
man.
Super nice guy.
Super nice.
We met him at Alien Con, and he's a very nice man.
Lovely man.
I got nothing but good things to say about Nick Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's smaller. Well, yeah, and then along with Zell's thing, he is smaller than you think he is.
He's a he's a tiny human. You could shot put that man across the room.
He's very friendly. He's very nice. He's probably the only person who really talked to us.
Yes, true. He did talk for a while.
He seemed happy to be there. At God.
So we know he was in World War II. To the extent of what he served is kind of unknown. It's hard to find reading his obituary and stuff. I mean, some articles he's labeled a war hero, but it doesn't really get to the extent of his military service.
Right, but we definitely know that he is from what people have said about him, he's a pretty very normal guy. Went to church every Sunday, well known about town, not the kind of guy to make up stories. He's a very, people refer to him as just very no,
not a guy to
very
take
no
the
nonsense.
Piss, as they'd say.
He's a fucking straight shooter, basically.
Yeah.
So Robert Taylor was working in the what is known as the Deckmont Woods or the Decky Hill or Decky Law, which is in Livingston, West Lothian, Scotland in 1979. And he was there around 10:30 working alone, checking on the fences and gates around the area.
See, and this right here, we got to stop right here because there's some definitely issues right here with this story because from everything we've read, do we know if this is 10:30 a.m. or 10:30 at night?
It's pretty sure
broad daylight.
Is it broad daylight? Because some of the things because I know there was discrepancies in the story where some of it, some people said he was looking to fix a fence. Some people said he was looking for sheep. Some articles said that he was looking for trespassers. Some said he was just walking his dog. So it's like there was little things like that. And because it never really specified the time, I wasn't sure.
In the Discovery Channel interview or like the mock interview or like the mockumentary short one, that's done in the day. So I think.
Yeah, the recreations all posted in the day. He was with his dog. So he was, technically walking his dog. His dog was with him, setter breed of some type. I can't remember off the top of my head. So he remarked that he had sighted this type of object floating around. Once he came around one of the corners of where he was checking, one of the hills, he found this, what he described to be some type of flying dome shaped object, about 20 feet in diameter is what he estimated. And this craft seemed to be hovering over the ground and out from it, from what he could describe, it dropped two large metal balls.
It dropped two large submarine mines is what I pictured in my mind. Giant spike
right,
balls.
So we do have some artist renditions or his renditions of what he is, and these are what they look like.
And I mean, they do. That's a good description of sea mine. But like when he said that, I wasn't like, I didn't in my head go, oh, like they're sea mines. Because I was like, that's the closest thing that he could describe to them as what you know, as what he was saying, like, what the fuck? But the one thing I couldn't find in there, I was trying to look up, is how big these things were. These balls that dropped.
Yeah.
He does describe the size balls. Of them.
He describes the size of the craft at like 6.5 meters or something, but I didn't really find it. Anything conclusive about the size of the
two
ball.
Balls? They're about 3 feet in diameter. We're going to be talking a lot about balls. This case file.
Buckle up.
Yeah.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
So these balls of steel.
Yeah.
Of some sort of metal.
Silver option. Balls glistening.
Balls of steel.
Balls of the mall.
He said they were about 3 feet in diameter. So when they said they were spiked balls, what I thought of was if anybody's ever seen the movie Phantasm, giant phantasm balls.
I have not.
You've never seen Phantasm?
No.
No.
I've seen Phantasm Mask 1-4.
Is there's a 1-4?
There's a Phantasm. It's like 1-4. I'm pretty sure. I've seen all of them.
Is it on Shudder?
The premise of the horror, they're bad horror movies. But one of the premises is these giant spike balls, which kind of hover around and kill people. That's what I pictured. That
Listen,
was
pull up a picture of the coronavirus.
Taylor.
That's what I'm saying.
Of COVID-19?
Like, yeah, COVID-19. Pull up a picture. And then let's go back and forth to what he described.
Okay, give me a second.
And what the COVID-19 looks like. That's all I'm saying. Right? We're talking balls, spiky balls.
That's not exactly what COVID-19
Now pull
looks
up
like,
a picture of phantasm balls, and I know that's what it really looks
like. We got a picture of coronavirus here that's why coronavirus gets its name. It's a ball with a bunch of spike proteins on it, and that's how it attaches to your cells. And then
it's supposed to look like a crown, basically.
Yeah,
is why
the corona. Yeah, corona. And then there, if you're watching on Patreon, there's the craft with the two spike with the two coronaviruses on the ground. That's what it is.
All I'm saying, coincidence? I think not. But no, instantly terrifying. I couldn't, like, you walk in the woods, you're awestruck by this. And again, this is a military man. He would have some like wherewithal of like what the fuck's going on. And like, you know, I bet he had quite a set of cojones on him himself.
I mean, he could have been in the mail room or in the fucking kitchen, but you never know.
I guess so. We don't know.
Another interesting aspect of this case is that he immediately after these balls assaulted him, is the only way really to put it. He was assaulted by balls.
Yep.
Or ball salted, if you want to say.
It comes up in the new one.
Wow.
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 So they seem to release, or there was like, he remembers smelling a type of acrid smell. Varying accounts that he said it smelled like burning brakes. Or that it smelled like a choking type of smell to go with it. So I've kind of posited that either this gas, it might have been some type of gas released by these balls or the craft itself.
Fairy balls is what you're saying. Fairy balls. That's good.
Yeah.
I got attacked by fairy balls.
Stinky balls.
Big stinky metal balls.
Metal balls, yeah.
Spiky, stinky balls.
Spiky, stinky balls.
That's the story.
So he also said that they, as they came near him at his hip level, these spikes or flanges essentially like reached out and grabbed onto his pants and started pulling him.
Pants? Trousers.
Trousers, sorry.
Trousers.
trousers and
dragged him away
and started dragging him. And that's when he noticed the smell and that he couldn't really breathe. And that's kind of what the last thing he remembers.
So the smell might have been some type of agent to like knock him out.
Some type
of
sedative.
So yeah, because he describes smelling the smell, you know, and then he passed out, or he says that he passed out because he seems to remember waking up and what he estimated to be about 20 minutes later with just no memory of what had happened. The craft was gone. The balls were gone.
And he was disheveled.
Which I feel like he's completely pulling out of his ass, because as someone who's been knocked unconscious many a fucking time, you have no idea how long you've been out. Absolutely no idea.
How many times have you been knocked out?
Way too many times.
That explains a lot.
That's probably why you can't tell the time right.
I can't tell the time. I can't record things properly.
I can't use
not
his computer.
Say you know what I mean. Every other word. Like, there's a lot of things I have trouble with. I can say photography, though.
There you go. Yeah.
So can I. Photography.
Photography.
But it's interesting because he says he doesn't remember anything, comes back disheveled, and he gets up. He then walks back to his truck. I'm guessing his dog was with him the whole time, stayed beside him.
Good day.
Doesn't really say. Yes. I was kind of curious about that because I'm like,
yeah, he said the dog was like running around, very, very distressed, concerned, circling him, barking, and seemed very anxious at whatever had happened. Which so, I mean, so gets, I, it,
that's a dog.
It could have just, that's what dogs do.
That's a good dog. Staying by your side, protecting you.
Right. If you feel stressed out, your dog feels stressed out. So
I was camping. I went camping this weekend, believe it or not. And we're sitting around the fire. It's like fucking 2 a.m. And out of nowhere, you just hear Axel's been gone for like 45 minutes, but it's fucking 10 acre property. It's okay. Out of nowhere, he starts losing his mind. I have no idea where he is. So I go trekking into the woods with my flashlight looking for him. And next thing you know, he goes fucking like grease lightning past me.
Oh,
and I'm
shit.
Like, oh my fucking God. So he was not concerned. He's like, all right, buddy, peace. Good luck.
See ya. You're here.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't trip me on his way by being like, all right, bud. So
not all dogs are good boys is what you're saying.
Not all dags. Well, he's a good boy, but he's worried about number one and
He's number one.
I can't blame him. Yeah.
So he goes.
Know who the alpha is in your house.
Oh yeah, definitely. Robert
Taylor, he gets up then. Disheveled, fucked up, doesn't know what time it is.
He's also like, when he does get up, he notes that he's very uncoordinated. He's very drowsy. He's, you know what I mean? Like he's definitely lost.
He's been drugged.
Some type of.
He tries to yell for help and he can't, he seemingly can't talk.
He's got no voice.
He has no voice. He can't get words out. So he treks back to his truck. And when he gets to his truck is dead.
Well, yeah,
he can't start it.
Yeah, he gets back to the truck. He tries a radio too, and that same thing. Like he just can't radio, so he tries to start his truck, and just like many other UFO encounters, it seems to fry like electronics. So like the solenoid or something like do with the electrical system, the truck will not turn over.
Solenoid, did you remember that from War of the Worlds?
I sure
when
did.
Tom Cruise is like, replace the solenoid.
100%. And then I've seen what was a War of the Worlds TV show coming soon. And then that double reminded me. So yes.
Yeah, that's chock full of solenoids, I bet, that show.
But that's interesting because then, so we have a lot of hallmarks of a classic UFO abduction. So Robert Taylor then walks home, right? He doesn't know what to do. He can't fucking talk. He's disheveled. He's fucking confused. I imagine he's scared. I should be fucked
that's
up.
That's the fucking thing to do back then though, right? Like that's the 70s, the time of our parents. It's like you're walking home. Uphill both ways in fucking 10 feet of snow in your father's pajamas.
Well, you can't talk. Well, you just got assaulted by UFO spike balls.
Yeah, you just got fucking slapped by some balls for 20 minutes. And now you're walking home. So he gets home. His wife sees him. He slowly gets his voice back and he tells his wife, and his wife is like, well, we got to call the police.
Well,
let's get the police in here.
He gets home and he looks like he got the shit kicked out of him pretty much. He's all muddy. His clothes are torn. He's got scratches on his chin, mud all over him.
Very pale, kind of like Zelly.
Yeah.
I'm gray today, actually. So thank you.
He was great.
Ashen would be the proper description.
Ash skin. I got stuck in the sun a little
ashen.
Too long.
Yeah.
But like, obviously she's concerned.
Yep.
Right? So they go to the police, and this is one of the interesting things about this. Because they go to the police, and God bless the police in Scotland.
Yep.
This might be the only criminal investigation of aliens in existence. There's warrants out for aliens for this assault. Assault, brother. The cops listened to this story, looked him dead in the eye, and go, they did, the balls did what to you? That's assault, brother.
Criminal assault by UFO.
Yeah. They don't fuck around in Scotland.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Took it very seriously, right? Yeah. Detective Constable Ian Wark was the crime scene investigator, and he said that when they went out there, they found what seemed to be these type of it seemed to be what they judged to be evidence of something had landed there. They found these very like these strange looking marks on the ground. I said there are about like 32 holes, which are about 3.5 inches in diameter, and there are also marks that. There are also marks in the area that seem to have been made by caterpillar tracks, often that you would find on bulldozers.
Yeah, they look like a ladder, which like if you're like
tank treads, kind
like
of.
Deep treads. Yeah. If you like had like a aluminum ladder, you put it down in the mud and jumped on it and put it up. That's kind of what it looks like. But yes, that also looks like a caterpillar track in a way.
Here's the thing: the first thing I'll say about the tracks is that when I read that and I listened to it. And I've heard it talked about. I gave that no credit because Robert Taylor himself never says this thing was on the ground. He says this thing was floating. He never says the balls that were dangling below it, they didn't touch the ground. They weren't dragging. So to me, when they go and they're like, oh, we see these marks. Maybe they're from it. I don't believe they are at all because he never said it touched the ground.
He was also unconscious for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
This is true.
But he's also, he works in forestry. He'd be very familiar with like heavy machine, like tracks.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And they even went to ask Robert or Bob Taylor's employer, Livingston Development Corporation, to see if they had machinery that actually matched with any of the things that they've, with the tracks that he had found in the area. And you know, the constable was quoted as saying that after examining every piece of machinery they had up there, they didn't find anything that matched.
Well, if you've never seen a bulldozer or like a giant, like tracked, like excavator or something, even if it's a small one and they roll through mud or like loose dirt, it's never a straight track because they skid around. So it's very rare that you get like a straight line unless there's like it's on a road or something and the road's muddy and they just never turn.
Here's the thing though. It wasn't a clearing. So that could very well be the case in this clearing is that whatever rolled through straight.
It's on a hill though, isn't it? It's on like up on a hill.
It's in a clearing. It was in a clearing.
Right. It's just hard to say because they had the police look and I can't imagine the police just being like, all right, let's just chalk this up to mystery then. If we didn't like they looked at all the machines that are in the area. That would have been working and they can't match it. So that does give some like, it makes it interesting for me where I'm like, okay, well then what then would have done it? It's not like, you know, in 1979, everyone has access to snowmobiles and, you know, backyard skids. Like it wouldn't be as surprising for me today if you just found some tracks, like people have Argos and all sorts of weird toys and stuff. Not in 1979. Like that wasn't as common.
Yeah, and the police were also as puzzled as we are because the police report at the time when they wrote it, they say that it just said that there's some sort of object of several tons is what they estimated had stood where these marks were, but there was nothing to show that it had been driven or towed away. So potentially it could have been something that, you know, the craft came down, the balls came out. Assaulted Robert Taylor, downed him, and then the craft decided to land. Because I mean, if he didn't observe it, because why would you land your craft if you're aliens coming down here to kidnap people? You know, why would you land your craft until the thing was down? Right, you don't land your chopper when you're going to tag wildlife until you've downed the wildlife, right?
It tranked it. Yep. But tranked it with football.
You know what was interesting? You know what I thought about when I heard this case and I first like read the circumstances of it? I instantly thought of fishing for some reason. Like that's what came to mind. When you hook a fish, you reel it in, you take a look at it, and you're like, ah, let's send him back in the water. And you kind of float him in the water a bit till he gets his bearings and swims away. Like some fucking bobbers came out, hooked Robert Taylor. He got reeled in. He got knocked out. He got fucking fish bonked. Right? They took a look at him. They went, look at him. There's probably some aliens fucking holding out a Robert Taylor body in a picture. I caught a human
big. They've got a big ruler out. They've got a big ruler out next to him.
Right? And then they cast him back. They probably shook his legs a little bit before they took off, make sure his pulse is going. And they're like, all right, that's a good day, boys.
So wait, you're chalking this up to maybe a little bit of intergalactic fishing?
Yeah, deep earth fishing.
So now he's fucking Big Mouth Bob Taylor?
Yeah, Big Mouth Bob Taylor.
Another couple interesting parts about this investigation. It's probably one of the most thorough investigations. I know if you look it up, it's definitely claimed to be that, or it's put forth as one of the most probably credible investigations because of the work that went into it. They actually took Mr. Taylor's ripped trousers and they were actually sent for forensic examination. But this was, again, like Braden said, 1979. Forensic techniques weren't as advanced as they are now. And so pretty much they just kind of looked at the holes and were like, yeah, something hooked and pulled them.
And not to mention that he did, Robert Taylor, you know, from all accounts did have abrasions by his hips where he said these things ripped his pants. Right. So he not only were the pants ripped, but he had physical abrasions of where he was, you know, these things, they didn't cut. It doesn't really say they cut into him, just abrasions. So I don't know if they rubbed him.
There's a little rough on him.
And yeah, here, like, one question I have too, like, this he lives in an area like right outside Edinburgh, right?
Yeah.
Yes. About 40 minutes west of Edinburgh.
Like today, Edinburgh really doesn't have that big of a population. You know, in the 70s would have been even smaller. And he lives in a fucking town a little bit outside of that area, right?
Livingston.
And yeah. I'm Livingston. So I'm wondering if, you know what I mean? Like people know Robert Taylor. He's an ex-war hero. And from everything we hear, he's just an upstanding citizen. People like him. It's a small town. So when he comes in,
the interviews with the police, the police guy says, he goes, this guy doesn't make shit up.
Well, exactly, because they know him. You know what I mean? So how much of this like story are they buying because they're like, I trust this man. I have no reason not to believe this guy. I trust him. That's why we're going to be fucking digging deep in here and, you know, taking everything he says and believing it.
Is Robert Taylor like the Scottish version of Ron Pond? Is that how credible he is?
Well, did he solve anything? Did he jersey anybody? Did he kick alien ass?
Did he die? All I know is 600 feet down to look at UFOs. And
those fucking balls wouldn't even have touched Ron Pond. He would have uppercutted both of them.
Ron Pond would have taken a look at those balls, whipped out his own, and then been like, and then it would have been a fucking reverse assault.
I'm telling you, those balls would have sucked right back up into that ship after they looked at fucking Ron Pond's balls.
Yeah.
Want nothing to do with that
Frig
ship.
Frig off, eh?
Posers, kick rocks.
If you live in the area, actually, they do have a UFO trail, which opened in 2018. You can take people to the actual spot where he claimed to have seen this alien spaceship. So, I mean, it's a real place and people feel like it really happened. There's a couple of explanations out there or people who are skeptical of Robert Taylor's encounter. And they put forth a lot of explanations that even
hogwash,
for me,
if you ask me,
which are kind of like
hogwash.
You're like, what?
Well, there's a few that kind of make sense to me. And then I've kind of went off on my own kind of thought process on it.
The first one I can write off is like,
okay, wait, just before we get into it, let's take a quick beer break and then we'll get into some of the theories around it. And then we'll finish off with our conclusions.
We'll be right back.
Woo.
All right, we're back.
We're back, baby. So we're getting into some of the like skeptical reception. And like we said, this is an interesting one because the skeptics' theories are shite. Terrible.
Bird? Plane? Swamp gas?
Yeah, there's like three. Well, swamp gas, you're not far off. One of them is like, it is a mirage caused by Venus.
Yeah.
Which by Venus?
Stephen Donnelly.
Is Venus in retrograde? Is that what it is?
Apparently, Venus in the daytime can look like two giant metal balls coming straight for your face. Like, I don't think that's... I don't think anybody in the history of anything has ever...
Listen, if you're a Scorpio and you're out in the woods in November, everyone knows you got to watch out for Venus balls. Okay?
Okay. I guess so.
Okay. They rip your pants.
Okay. I mean, are mirages even a thing? Like, I haven't seen those other than in Looney Tunes cartoons.
I just remember watching Bugs Bunny eating sand. It's like heat. Yeah, it's like you could see a mirage and it might look like a reflection of an object.
A mirage doesn't fucking rip your pants and fuck you up.
I've never been assaulted by a mirage, sir.
Stupid.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the ones. What are the other ones?
Phil Fenton. This is great. His only accreditation? What am I looking for, Dan?
Depends what you're looking for. Credentials.
His only credentials are that he's a local businessman. And he published a report in 2013 speculating that Robert Taylor may have suffered from a mini stroke and had been exposed to harmful chemicals, which left him confused and disoriented.
Wait, so okay, stroke, well,
can I interject in that, though?
Stroke and chemicals? Yeah, go for it.
Why does there need to be chemicals? Yeah. I don't understand that. Because
listen,
like, if you go,
because
if you,
local businessman Phil Fenton said so, Andrew.
Okay, well,
are
listen,
you a local like, businessman?
Yeah,
no.
I am.
You're
yeah,
not.
Am. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, thank you. But no, seriously, like you go through his symptoms, right? Loss of coordination. The acidic smell in his mouth. And when he goes to try to talk, he's completely aphasic. Those are all fucking symptoms of a CVA.
Hold on. And you're saying a lot of $10 words.
Yeah. What's here. Yeah. Right.
What am I?
What's CBA?
What's CBA? And then what's the fucking aphrodisiac or whatever you're saying?
Okay. Well, cerebrovascular accident is another word, a fancy word for a stroke. But the thing is,
nobody knows who Nick Pope is, but everybody knows what CVA stands for.
It's a fucking basic meta. You get commercials telling you about CVAs.
They say stroke.
Anyways.
They say stroke.
My apologies. So the reason why I believe he's suffering from a stroke, okay? Loss of coordination,
yep.
Acidic taste in his mouth, and then he was aphasic, which means unable to fucking formulate words. Those are all symptoms of a fucking stroke. Now, the fact that he recovered fast leads me to believe that it was probably a TIA, which is a temporary ischemic attack, which is a mini stroke.
Okay.
And TIA, as it's known.
It depends now where we have either a blockage or a bleed in his brain, and whatever area of his brain is affected can most definitely cause you to hallucinate. If you're having a bleed in your fucking temporal lobe, you're going to be seeing shit. It's fucking super common.
So, yeah, okay. Braden has mini strokes all the time.
Yeah. I have one right now.
But seriously, I don't understand why that's so far-fetched.
It doesn't seem that far-fetched now.
Here's the thing. It's a little far-fetched for me because explain how he gets so fucked up.
Because sometimes you can go into epileptic fucking seizures.
But you're not ripping jeans. He could have
ripped his pants. Have you ever seen
with
anybody
his fingernails?
Have you ever seen anyone actively seizing? Not to mention he's in the middle of the, I have. Exactly. You saw somebody in the middle of a fucking superstore, not in the middle of the woods with fucking rocks and wood and fucking sticks and shit like that on the ground.
You know what? You know what other thing that didn't get reported? He didn't piss himself. That's how I don't believe he didn't have a seizure.
Some people's trousers were dirty. It's common for people to fucking experience incontinence when they have a seizure, but it doesn't happen every single time.
How about this? How about we did talk about him being in World War II? Is there anything to do with like some type of
shell shocked?
Yeah, PTSD.
Potentially. You can have a severe anxiety attack and hallucinate for sure. Could that induce a fucking CVA or not a CVA, but some type of epilepsy? Yeah, I think it can.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's happened before.
Now, what about, so if you go with that, the theory that it was like a medically induced episode, what about the tracks, the weird tracks that can be matched and all that shit?
I don't know. I'm not sure how credible that whole fucking scenario is. Like, what did they do? They bring in fucking every single treaded fucking vehicle that they have in the town and compare it to them? Like, I don't
know. I think you
just go to the place where they have them and look at them.
Just heavy machinery in general. Yeah, you can't,
we don't know the brand of it. It could have been a tractor. Could have been anything. We don't know.
Well, there's no pictures, so it's hard to tell, but I'm just saying, if there's a tractor, it's not just going to be there. It's going to have a track all the way back to where it parked.
I think this is 1979, and like Brighton said, not everybody has a large, there's not a bunch of contracting. But
this is like, he's up there because he works in forestry.
Yeah.
Right? It's a forestry site.
But they looked at the forestry equipment and they didn't have matching tracks.
I don't give
any credence to the tracks, right?
Then why are we talking about them?
Okay, look at this. Okay, I don't know if you're watching the live stream, or I'm going to show it here to my fellow theorists, but if you're looking at the map of where this place is, it's like there's roads and shit and trails all through it.
I mean, they wouldn't bounce around.
But there's, now there is. No, but I mean, there's not like, it's not a forestry center. It almost, now it looks like actually that's part of a golf course almost. But back then,
right, it's clear cut.
When they were there, they were developing that. That hadn't been developed yet.
But we all read that it was a meadow. It was a clearing. Right? Yeah. It was in the middle of the clearing. It's not like they were actively logging the area or something.
They fucking drove through the area to go to where they're going. I don't know. I haven't even seen the fucking tracks. So that's what I mean.
If there's like, it seemed like two types of tracks, like a ladder track, which would maybe looked like, you know, like a skid steer, but then there was also like it, like those little puncture.
And like, so what level, who investigated this? The local police?
Local constable.
Yeah. Fucking howdy doody.
Yeah.
Roscoe Pico Coltrane. Like fucking... You know what I mean? The country bumpkins in fucking Edinburgh.
Are you discounting the cops? Are you discounting the cops in Edinburgh or Lavington? Well,
did they bring in Scully and Mulder? Did they bring in the fucking pros? I don't know.
Did they bring in Scotland Yard? I don't know.
Well, they wouldn't bring in Scotland Yard because Scotland Yard doesn't work in fucking Scotland. It's in London.
Right? Dude, it was Detective Constable Ian Wark.
Yeah.
Ian Wark.
I don't know.
Money a mickle, Max a muckle. That's what he said too.
Are you having a stroke now?
That might be. Mini stroke.
It's interesting though, because you know, some people said there's also a saucer shaped water tower nearby, and people have theorized that perhaps in some sort of stroke and hallucination. Dude, I got so big.
What was that?
He's having a mini stroke.
Hallucination. He
got strokes everywhere.
Holy fuck.
What do you say?
It's a hallucination.
Where, like a water
brain
tower?
Is in a constant state of mini strokes.
Hallucination. Yeah.
Wait, are you saying brain? Hallucination. Are you saying that some of the accounts go that there was some type of like water tower or something there?
There was that maybe in the hallucination, he looked at it, saw it, and just was just fucking tripping out.
Okay, well, on that point, if they were, say it was more of an active like work zone, maybe they did have a water tower for like to fill up the tankers or whatever, or some type of tower. But now it's hard to tell because there's no current pictures. But still, it doesn't account for, I guess, if you had a stroke and you like were ripping your own clothes and like, I guess so, but I don't know.
I'm just saying like you were wearing a pair of Levi's or something. I'm not ripping pants with my fingernails. Yeah, but like,
depends what you're fucking actively seizing on. What are you on top of? He's on top of fucking dirt and rocks and fucking shit.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So you're saying he would grab like a handful of rocks and then
depends on what's like, did he have a grand mal fucking seizure? Full body tonic colonic seizing? Then yeah, probably. You're thrashing around. Like if you've ever seen anybody—
Is that a drink?
Tonic colonic?
No, if you've ever seen anybody having a tonic colonic seizure, like it's violent, man. Very, very fucking violent.
I seen one. It was terrifying.
I've never seen one in person, only on video.
My 4-hour first aid course kicked in. No problems.
Recovery position.
A
blanket.
I smacked some guy's hand, actually. I literally went, because he was trying to hold her head and grab her mouth. He's like, you have to grab her tongue. I was like, no, you don't. And I smacked his hand.
No, good sir.
No. Jeez,
that guy just did his first aid in like 1843.
I said, let her shake. That's what I said.
Yeah. No, did you tell him that you immediately open up the nearest bottle of essential oils and dump it on her, and she's immediately cured.
I like zoned out for a second, and now it's like I don't remember that we were talking about seizures and all this shit about, dude, just let her
now
shake.
Dan's having strokes.
Everyone's God. Having a mini stroke tonight.
Everybody's fucking stroking out this episode. Hey,
buddy, holy shit. I'm fucking stroke free.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 153, Robert Taylor Incident.
It's 152.
Hallucinogenations.
I'm Zell.
Wait, what?
Okay, let's move on from hallucinations. Let's move to...
Here's the thing. They interview this guy, right? This guy's always maintained the same account. If he was suffering from these kind of like medical issues, it was a one-off because he maintained this story and he lived till 2007.
Here's the thing interject with that is the fact that people like... So he was saying that they thought maybe he had a seizure. A lot of times people, they have the postictal period following a seizure, which can be explained by like the being uncoordinated, being unable to speak, being very confused. You don't normally remember that period when you come out of your postictal period. So that, to me, that kind of works against it. And the other thing too is it was never noted that he ever had another seizure. Now,
I'm saying.
The fact that you had like a one-off seizure, that's very rare. It does happen, but it's very rare.
Right? Like... The cards for stacking up, this stacking up, I think he had a stroke.
I think he had a stroke.
And he was fine. He lived after a stroke, like undiagnosed stroke.
A temporary ischemic attack.
Okay.
People have TIAs on a daily basis and go back to a... Don't shake your fucking head because you don't know.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just trying to get us to go on to the next theory.
I'm looking at Braden. People have TIAs. That's why it's a temporary. That's what the T stands for. You regain perfect fucking function after that.
So he maintains a story. He maintains the story till the end of his life. I mean, Discovery even did an interview with him, which would have been fucking amazing. I could only imagine.
Can you only imagine, though?
I don't know. I think we... What do you think it went like, Andrew?
Go. Start it.
This is Doug from Discovery Channel. I'm going to start the recording. It's November 7th, 1979. This is Doug from Discovery Channel, and I'm with Mr. Robert Taylor. Mr. Taylor, can you tell us about what happened on November 1st?
Aye, gather around, laddie. Come here. I'll tell you the story. I was walking down the forest with me dog, and out of nowhere, there's a huge thing, big round dome, dark in color, had these arms, and all of a sudden a phalange opened, and these two spiky bulls came flying out.
So two bulls charged you. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, spiky bulls.
Horns. They had horn bulls with horns.
Nah, laddie, not charging. Horns. Spikes, spiky bulls.
Yeah, the bulls. Yeah, the bulls charged you.
No, yeah. No, not like the laddie, not like the animal. The bulls, you know, the round bulls.
Oh, like a cereal bull. Okay, so
round bulls. Laddie bulls. Are you listening to me, son? Bulls. Okay.
This is this guy for real? All right. You know what, Mr. Taylor? I'm gonna talk to your wife. Give you a second to calm down. You're getting a little agitated. Miss Taylor, in your own words, can you tell me what happened that night?
Aye, Robert came home looking terrible. He's very dirty. Okay. He came in with dirty pants.
Okay. And he had dirty pants. And how'd they get dirty?
Aye, they're very dirty. I'm going to say he probably was rolling around in the dirt and got dirty.
Yes. I understand the pants are dirty, but I want to know how I know they got dirty because he was on the ground, but how did that all happen?
Now, I'd imagine, Sonny, his pants were touching the ground because his knees were on the ground and they rubbed on the dirt, so they got dirty.
Yes, I understand the pants were dirty, but the balls.
Ah, yes, his balls. They were still in his pants because at this time... He was wearing his pants.
Not his balls, Mrs. Taylor. The space balls. The space balls.
Aye, like the film, Spaceballs. Rick Romanus? No, is that how you say it?
No? Not the movie Spaceballs. I don't even know if that's come out yet. I'm talking like a spaceship. Like a spaceship, Mrs. Taylor.
Goodness dear, spaceships aren't real.
You know what? Just tell me, I don't know, whatever. How'd you clean the pants?
With Tide.
Yeah, and you put them through the wash?
Yeah. And then you hang them to dry. That's the best way to keep the trousers the same size. Because like we said, Mr. Robert has big balls.
I think that's a wrap on this interview. That's...
Which for you no go by.
So Spaceballs came out in 1987. And this interview would have taken place definitely after 1988 because Discovery Channel didn't exist.
Well, listen, Dan, they probably should have followed up on that point then, maybe.
The Discovery Channel definitely interviewed him. I watched
it. I know they definitely watched interviewed him. And they asked him about Spaceballs.
All I took out of that interview was his pants were dirty.
Dirty. Very dirty pants.
His very dirty pants. Final thoughts on Robert Taylor? What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, the only theory we really covered was there's either a UFO seizure or medical episode or some type of, I don't know. I don't know where the heavy machinery would come in, but someone playing a bad prank on him and he decided to turn the joke around. I think this guy, he's a stand-up dude, ex-military, whatever. We're not sure the fully extent of ex-military, but it seems like he's seen something. He never profited. He never took a story, like, he never really went that public. He never did the UFO tour. He just went about his life for the rest of his time. That was the story. He never really changed it. I tend to believe people if they never change the story. And, I'd have to shake his hand just to make sure he had a firm handshake.
That would be one cold, skinny, bony hand at this point in time.
Well, I mean, if I could go back in time, which I actually can, maybe I will try it and go back to 1980-something. Shake the man's hand. UFO.
Do vampires know how to travel interdimensionally and back in time? Is that a thing?
You went too far back tonight because you look like you're a vaudevillain.
Yes. UFO for me. I think he's seen something. I think he got fucked up by metal space balls.
What do you think?
I definitely believe that Mr. Taylor believes he saw a UFO.
That's also fair.
And what do you think, though, to him?
I think he had a stroke. I'll buy that. I think that's the likely option. But you know what? It's just as likely that he had a stroke as he saw a fucking alien. I don't know. But as far as right now, like, I know that strokes are real. I don't know if aliens are real. So.
Dan, what do you think?
I think Robert Taylor is the Zodiac Killer.
Okay, Zodiac.
If the timeline's
tell me
up,
I'm wrong.
He would have been.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah.
Can't.
I mean, he doesn't look like the Zodiac at all.
How do you know that picture is of the Zodiac?
It's true. It's true. Because you know what? That is the one murder they have the drawing from doesn't really line up with the killings.
I think Robert Taylor, you know, it's officially on the record that he was assaulted by balls of steel. So
it's the only UFO case where the police ended up calling it
open criminal
assault.
I mean, the fact that they gauged him as a person, they assessed him as a person or a personality to be credible enough for them to open an official investigation and not write it off like this dude is fucking crazy. And not do anything about it. They actually filed an actual report and classified it as an assault. You know, leads me to believe that, you know, he really put forth a case that I saw something. And then, like Brayden said, and Zell said, that story never changed. And he is genuinely saw something. Whether this craft is some type of...
it's a weird craft.
I mean, Edinburgh, there are other cases. While we were researching this one, like there are other cases within Edinburgh we might talk about. There's the A70 incident. The A70 incident was also an alien abduction case. Involves hypnotic regression.
That
happened in the 90s. And whether Edinburgh is a place that Edinburgh. Am I close enough, Andrew?
Pretty close.
Pretty good enough.
I just know if anybody else was saying something that you knew the proper spelling, you'd be up their ass. So I got to be up your ass, buddy.
Someone's got to.
Yeah, I would say that there's strange things that happen around this area and that this might be just another one of them. That's something that is, something's really weird going around that area.
Which fiddle no go by here?
It's an interesting one for me because it has all the hallmarks of like a classic UFO abduction case. We have the missing time, you know, a lot of the dead vehicle, you know, all that stuff that, you know, the missing time. It's interesting to me, but what strikes me as odd is that we have a very unique UFO in this situation, right? Like his description of the UFO with the propellers, the bowels, his description of the bowels.
I'll be honest. You know what comes to mind? Exactly. Like Dr. Robotnik.
That's what I was thinking too.
Seriously. Like that's exactly what I think is Dr. Robotnik with those big spiky balls on the chain.
Yeah. Level two of Sonic. Sonic.
Where I was thinking like, Tails. You know, when Bowser sometimes rides in that like half shell with the propeller on the bottom. I was thinking of that too.
Yeah.
But it's a very like unique description of a UFO to me. So that makes it interesting. The fact that he never changes his story, he never profited from it. I guess it goes back to what we talked about in the beginning. It's like, well, what would you do in that situation? If you were abducted and you had the experience of Robert Taylor, how would you handle this? Would you, you know, tell the world? Would you be writing books, you know, making appearances like, say, Travis Walton? Or could you go back to your 9-to-5 job working forestry until you die at the ripe old age of, you know, 88, knowing what Robert Taylor knew? And I think that's the question that I struggle with. And it's what you're going to essentially have to take into account, whether or not you believe Robert Taylor.
There you have it. It's a cool story. It's a cool UFO encounter. Nothing else.
Before we go, why don't we fire up the Randomatron, see what it's got for us.
She's running smooth. Here we go. That mongoose file was so badass that it knocked off my Apollo picture off my stereo and shattered to a million pieces.
It's because Colberry fucking rips, man.
That boy Colberry. Yeah, my picture of a long time ago, we had a back in the days of the Prolapser, send us pictures of the original Apollo missions and I framed it and now it shattered into a million pieces.
Oh, Jesus.
But that's how epic that was. So let's hear it.
All right. So obviously at the beginning of these things, we already know that this happens to a friend of a friend of a friend of mine. Has absolutely nothing to do with me or anybody I know.
A friend. You might not even like this person. It's a friend of a friend doesn't mean it's my friend.
I mean, let me say, if I was looking in the mirror and I saw that looking back at me, I wouldn't be very happy. Don't like the guy very much. Receding hairline, short, not a good guy.
Piece of junk.
Anyways.
Yep.
Fucking asshole.
So, as we know,
for anything.
You know, it's hard to kind of give a proper description of this area. So we'd like to compare it to a certain coastal city in Western Canada. You know, kind of like a climate like British Columbia-ish. You know what I mean?
West Coast-ish?
Yeah.
West Coast-ish. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Maybe Terrace or like somewhere like that. But west, maybe bigger. West. So maybe just go with
more
Vancouver.
More metropolitan, like a city area.
So like Vancouver then. Yeah. Like Vancouver's, you know, they have coastal city, BC.
Big city. Okay. Sounds right. Big city, yep.
So just like this fictional place I'm talking about, just like that, you know, Vancouver, they do have similarities because this particular city we're talking about right now is actually experiencing two different pandemics at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
This city is hitting like unprecedented numbers of overdoses at this moment, like getting absolutely fucking destroyed with overdoses. As in like we... You know, a couple weeks ago, we had hit an all-time high of 141 overdoses in one day.
It's bad.
Fucking bananas.
It's
crazy.
Really bad.
So this is probably going to shock you when the story starts and takes place during an overdose call. So the ambulance gets called. ALS ambulance, BLS ambulance. Our friend is on the BLS ambulance, of course. Rushing to the scene. 20-something male... suspected narcotic overdose, unsure. It's in the middle of a very prominent street. We could say something like maybe Granville Street would be a good similarity to it. Working this overdose. And right away, this overdose is very bizarre because, you know what I mean? Right off the bat, you realize he's got no respiratory rate. His oxygen saturation levels are completely in the tank. Like, we're talking maybe 20% at this point in time. He's cyanotic, which means he's a color blue because he's not oxygenating, because he's not breathing on his own.
I thought that meant goodbye.
What does?
Cyanotic.
Cyanotic? No, cyanara.
Cyanara, yeah.
Oh.
Anyways, so very blue, presenting, you know, and of course we don't like to stereotype, but they're presenting like an individual that maybe is not living in a particular home, maybe on the street or in a, you know, a care home or a facility of some sort.
A less fortunate individual.
Exactly. That's a good way of explaining it. So we get there and we're running what we're assuming is a narcotic overdose. But the big weird part about this is the fact that his pupils aren't pinpoint, which we know with narcotics, with opioids, your big pupils constrict. They don't dilate. This individual's pupils are dilated. But as of late, we've had a lot of mixing with our drugs, right? So it's hard to say, run it as a opioid overdose. We throw the pharmacy at this poor individual, do every single thing we can, worked him, CPR, interosseous IVs and Botions, pushing epinephrine, everything, intubated this guy. Unfortunately, after an hour and a half worth of CPR, does not make it. Now, this is the middle of the summer. Everybody's wearing their half-mask respirators because of COVID. Everybody's wearing full face shield, glasses, and gloves, and like gowns, everything. So this is horrible. This is the middle of the day. You're sweating. It's horrible. It's crazy. And after like an hour and a half of working a CPR call, you take your gloves off and like it, water comes
just
pooling
pours
out.
Yeah.
So after the doctor gives us orders over the phone to call it, we're like, okay, you know, this is, it's sad. This is horrible. This was a long call. Like, I cannot wait to get back to the station, change my uniform, and, you know, get back out there. All of a sudden, while we're wiping down our equipment and our monitor, a taxi cab comes flying around the corner and the door pops open. And you look up and the person driving the taxi cab looks at us and he's like, six people just got stabbed around the corner. You guys should go check it out. It's like, oh shit. Hop in the ambulance, boot around the corner. And the first thing you see is this like 20 something female stumbling towards the ambulance, holding her intestines in both her hands. I guess an individual saw them standing outside and ran by these people with an X-Acto knife and just eviscerated them basically in the abdomen. So we have
sliced them?
Six people. Pardon me?
Just like
sliced them. Sliced. Just ran by.
That's.
But the interesting thing about this was the fact
the
that it was
exact
so
reason I don't wear midriffs.
It didn't perforate any of the bowels though, because it's an X-Acto knife. It was so slick. It just exposed, like it just exposed the intestines. Like nothing was perforated. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, you go from this overdose call, getting your ass kicked, to six people where the worst part about this call is the fact that there's really not much you can do for these people other than get them to the nearest fucking hospital, 150 milligrams of gasoline, pedal the fucking metal and go. Right? Like, it was fucking horrible. Like, basically what you do is you soak dressings with normal saline and hold them on their abdomen so they can keep their intestines fucking wet. And that's pretty much it. Two large bore IVs and go. And like, this is right in the middle of COVID. COVID in BC right now is at its heights. So the emergency rooms are packed. ICUs are packed. And then you come in with six people. We had people in the fucking bed, people sitting in chairs beside us because we had nowhere to put them.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it was terrible. Horrible. It wasn't much fun. Anyways,
tell your friend of a friend that feel sorry for him.
And yeah, I feel sorry for him too.
He should probably leave his job for a smaller, less violent city.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Maybe a city surrounded by a nice, beautiful lake.
A lake with mountains. Yeah. Smaller populations.
Maybe start a small business with his friends.
That's a better idea. Yeah. Hopefully it pays well.
Where you're all like-minded individuals doing the same thing that you love.
And that I'll let him know. I don't really know him that well, but I'll let him know.
Well, yeah, you got to let your friend know to let him know.
It goes down a few layers, but
unfortunately, it's like the telephone game, though, so hopefully he'll know what we're talking
Zell,
about.
You got new Patreons?
Yes, I took a week off, so we got a few more than normal. But if you are supporting
Let's
the show
make
at
up some names,
$3 or more per month, we give you a shout out on the show to say thank you very much. So this week we got Brandon Egerbrandt.
Woo!
Cody Dixon, he's back. Recognize that name.
Yeah.
Christian Johnny Davis. Tony Mudlust. Tim Lamb. Rhett Stanley. Brady Barrow, a longtime listener, ups his pledge to the Mitra. So good luck to you, Brady. Our newest top tier supporter, David from Texas. Matt went up. Jonathan Henderson. Stephen Holman. Justin. Travis Thorne. Jack. God damn it. Roofly. First one I fucked up
is
today.
Is his middle name? Oh, I thought his middle name was God damn it.
Jack God damn it Roofly. That's better. I'll just change it to that. Update.
It's like
it.
Jim Jimerson's middle name.
Louis Zaragoza, Maggie Baker, Johnny Tran, Fernando, NZ underscore Skunky Buds, Vanessa Cardenas, Kyle W, and Chloe Claire Upter Pledge. So thank you very much.
Welcome. Thanks for the support. Guys, you can always go to patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast.
Patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast will get you access to all of the bonus shit that we do.
Yeah. And it helps the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Do we have a theory of the week? We actually forgot to talk about that.
Well, we have I had one picked.
Oh,
he's won before.
I got one.
He's won before, but I almost think we have to give it to again to him.
Is it the guy that made the best picture of all time?
That was amazing.
So he caught me in mid-transformation. Tyler Klein has fucking me on the cover gold of Animorphs, turning from regular Zell to Batwing Zell.
So good.
It's so good.
Dude, I very thing few things seen in this world make me laugh out loud. And viewing that picture, I had a really good chuckle. Really good. So thanks.
It's absolute gold. That was fucking
it was
gold.
Great. It was awesome. So
if
I think
you haven't seen it, go to our Instagram, Facebook group, Twitter, whatever. Go check it out. It's fucking hilarious.
I think that's because we've been struggling with theorites of the week because there's so many people that send us stuff. So if you want to get theorite of the week, I think sending something to us that we can post on social media, give you credit for is your, that's your best route, I think, at this point.
It's your best route, 100%.
Other than that, yeah, join up on our Facebook group, follow us on all social media. We're more active than we used to be. So we try and post a bunch now. So,
And if you go there, let us know what you think about Robert Taylor. Is he credible? What do you think? Let us know on our Facebook group, Instagram, whatever. Message us, and you're always going to be talking to one of us, which is a cool thing. Anything else before we end this one?
I think that's it.
Well, as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on this goddamn Canucks playoff game.
Oh, here we go.
Woo! We're losing, but whatever.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.